Romans 16. Please turn to Romans 16. What a privilege to hear, read this letter that the Holy Spirit guided Paul in writing. We've been in Romans for a while, huh? Does anybody know how long? Melissa's very smart. She said 16 weeks. Just about. Well, we've had some amazing truths presented to us in Romans in such clear and practical ways. And we're grateful for pastors and teachers who can do that for us, who can break down the Word of God and to present that truth to us. And our pastor teacher is on vacation this week and leaving the celebration service to us, and also leaving Romans 16 to me. But the good thing is that a big chunk of it is greetings. And so since we already did that this morning, that was our application from the first section of Romans 16. But we will go ahead and listen to that and read through that in a second, because I don't want us to miss what Paul has in his final thoughts from Romans. So, you know, just some of these truths that we've listened to, and we're going to have a chance to testify to how these truths have impacted us over the last couple months. But, you know, it's the power of God is so awesome. You know, and we've heard about the power of God in all through this book of Romans, in a lot of ways in a theological sense, where we have all these intricacies of the gospel presented and clarified and explained, and some of these big words used that talk about the awesomeness of what God has done and the effect that has had and the relationship that we've now been given. We're, you know, the ideas of like the depravity of man. There's no one good, no one who seeks him. All have turned away, all have gone astray. And there's no one righteous, except there is a righteousness that comes from God. And it's not by the law, but it's by faith, right? The idea of justification, of propitiation, of substitutionary atonement, all these theological realities. The mercy of God and new life in the Spirit and glory through suffering. Romans chapter 8. All these things, I'm convinced that God's power to use His Word and His Spirit He's still active and He's still doing it. And I know that many of us here have been touched over these last 16 weeks by this gospel, by this declaration of the gospel in the book of Romans. And so we're going to have an opportunity to testify to that power. It's almost like we're applauding the work of God through His Holy Spirit, by having a celebration service, applauding the work of God in tandem, His Holy Spirit in tandem with the preaching of His Word. And it's a powerful combination that you almost can't escape. If God's will is for you to be touched, He will touch you. So I want us to not miss chapter 16, and I want us to... the first part, all these greetings, we're going to listen to it, but I think I've been most touched by just Paul's list of his fellow workers in the gospel, those who have partnered with him in ministry. Some, you know, I'm not sure that he knows all of these specifically. He may know of their reputation, but he views them all as his side-by-side partners, striving with him for the gospel. And I don't know, it's just cool. I think that speaks to me as like, it's an awesome experience to do ministry with the people that you like and that you love, to serve the gospel side by side with people who you actually like and love. And I would just encourage you to do ministry in community, where you're sharing your life with each other as you serve the gospel together. And let's go ahead and we're going to read through verses 1 to 16. I had a friend who was going to maybe do a recording of this so that I didn't have to pronounce all these words, and I don't know if it happened. He's obviously hit. Oh, I see. That's okay. So, bear with me. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Centuria. I promise you I will mispronounce a lot of these. That you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever way she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their needs I mean, they're next for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stacy. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman, Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord. Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Paris. See, pardon me, I don't know if I'm reading it right. I mean, if I can see it. Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobas, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. All right. I'm glad that your names aren't that difficult to learn. Awesome. All right, so those greetings are awesome, and it's just awesome. I mean, can you imagine being a co-worker with Christ in the gospel and just a partner with him in advancing this good news? But I do want to say a couple things about chapter 16. Not all of it is greetings. In verse 17 to 20, and then later in 25 and 27, we have Paul's final words. 17 and 20 are like his final instructions to the church. Like, don't forget this. Whereas 25 and 27, they're like a doxology. And so let's start with 17 through 20. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles, contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I just want to say a couple things. Are you aware? What's the worst thing that can happen to a unified church body? Division? Somebody who changes their mind about what is true. It says, watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles. But the obstacles that they put in place are theological in nature. They alter the gospel, the good news. They rearrange somehow the story. The story. And if you teach English or literature, you know story, or you might remember this, made up of a setting and a plot and characters, you know. So they change parts of the story. Maybe they add to the ending. Maybe they add this. And then by persistent good work, you may reach the higher heavens and find greater intimacy and prestige, perhaps becoming a god yourself. Is that taught in our culture? It's taught in some churches that call themselves Christians. Or maybe they change one of the characters. Jesus. Maybe he's just a signpost or an appointed man, like a tool used by God to usher in creation, but not God himself. Or they take the Holy Spirit and they sideline him and tell you that you have all you need within you to be all you want. Just believe in yourself. Forgive yourself. Create your own reality. You create your reality. They take the blood of Christ and say, well, you know, faith is important, but really you need to work for God to even have a chance. Make sure you keep enough good in the good pile and to outweigh the bad in the bad pile, because God isn't going to let one man's blood cover and pay for all your sins. So they make obstacles. They add to, or they detract, or they change the characters. What do the obstacles keep you from? The obstacles keep you from the gospel. See, in Romans 8, there's that awesome verse that says, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate you. But these men try to. These people try to. They say, well, you know, you're a Gentile, so need to do something extra. You're a Jew, or you're a sinner. And these people will put obstacles in your way from you grabbing onto the true gospel and from relishing it in your heart, enjoying it as it truly is. And they'll come in and they'll put little things in your mind to distract you from that. Let's read chapter 16, verse 21. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. Tertius, who wrote this letter, greets you in the Lord. It's common for there to be almost like a secretary. He was writing this down as Paul told him what to write. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. But now we get to this doxology. What is a doxology? Doxology is basically a statement or a verse of praise to God. And he did this before in the end of chapter 11 after he talked about the mercy of God as it's been revealed. And he just busts into this doxology about how awesome God's ways are and his paths beyond our understanding. Right? That's a doxology where he's just like so focused on all these truths that he's been declaring. He's like, a doxology is just like a statement of praise. But here's what he says. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed through the prophetic writings, has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. So I just wanted to say a couple things. I mean, one, he's kind of gone back to the very beginning where he talks about, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God, right? For salvation unto all who believe. And he's come back and he says, you know what? This revelation, this mystery has been kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed through the prophetic writings. And it's been made known to all the nations. And so he's just kind of encapsulating his whole book in this last statement of the gospel. But I was struck this week by this, by his doxology, his statement of praise. It's almost like he started a thought, now to him who is able to strengthen you. And he started listing all these things. And then all of a sudden he gets down to verse 27 and he gets back to that thought. Now to him, the only wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you kind of like take all that out, you got now to him, the only wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. And I love this, how it says that. That God receives his glory, the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to read one passage, and it's from 2 Corinthians 4, and it's a passage that talks about this glory of God in the person, in the body, and in the work of Jesus, his Son. 2 Corinthians 4, 4 through 6. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, it talks about he's the exact representation of his being. He's the radiance, Jesus, the radiance of all God's glory. in this gospel, which is centered on Jesus Christ, we have all of God's glory being radiated. So when we look to Jesus and when we adore Him for who He is, we see the glory of God and we magnify God by adoring the beauty of Jesus and all that He is. He said to the only wise God. See how wise God is? I love how He said to the only wise God right there, because He just explained this gospel that's been a mystery and now it's been revealed through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ to the only wise God, the only one who can create such a beautiful story. Be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Are we right in lifting up the name of Jesus Christ? We are. Does it glorify God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity? It brings Him glory. And this was His plan. John said something interesting at camp. He said, you know, I don't understand why God did this. Knowing what would happen, why did He just not, you know, start over? And Kurt said later to me, he said, why didn't God, knowing what would happen, why didn't He just not create us? And the answer is He wants to display who He is so that we can see all of His glory, so we can see all of His attributes. And they're on display in the gospel. What an awesome message that we carry as ambassadors, as a voice of hope. We carry the gospel, the magnification of who God is. And we get to live that out. So that's really all I wanted to say about Romans 16. Thank you for listening. I just want us to glorify our God together. Let's glorify our God by exalting Christ in the same way that the Father has. Let's glorify our God by surrendering to the Father in the same way Jesus did. And let's glorify our God by walking in the Spirit in the same way Jesus did. Well, let's stand together, if you will, and we are going to continue our time of singing. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Your Son. Jesus, thank You for being willing to sacrifice, and thank You for giving us Your Spirit. In Him, we know we have the strength we need to live out Your will. Father, I pray that You'd be glorified this morning as we as a congregation testify to Your worth, testify to Your power to interrupt our lives and interrupt our thoughts with Your thoughts, Your word, Your truth, and to redirect our paths, God. It's awesome, and I want to hear about how You've been working in our lives through Your word. Father, be glorified as we ponder Your truths and Your beauty. And I pray that what comes from our hearts would be a sacrifice of praise worthy of You. In Your name we pray these things. Amen.